John chapter 3, John chapter number 3, let's stand please. John 3, we're going to read one of the most, the most familiar verse in Scripture, and then a couple of others following that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse that probably every child that's been in church any time has memorized. We all have heard, known, and loved. What a verse. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Isn't that good? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the singing. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father, we can come to the house of God, worship, adore, smile, enjoy God. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to worship and adore you. And Father, surely as we come today to preach in the Word of God, we think about these great things that you've given to us here. And Father, surely our hearts ought to be touched and moved in great worship toward God for your goodness to us. I praise you and thank you. Then I pray for those who are here unsaved. May the Holy Ghost bring conviction, call them by name, speak to their hearts, drawn by your power. And I pray, God, they come to repentance. Then we pray for every heart that's heavy, every heart that's going through difficulties. And Lord, that you bless them and help them, encourage them and strengthen them. And Father, I pray for the sick and ask you to touch their bodies. You know every individual's been requested for, and those here in this house in body that needs a touch of God. We ask you to help us now physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way that you'd help me get my mind and heart in this message and forget about everything else and just exalt the Lord Jesus and try to preach as you'd have me to do. I pray you rebuke the devil, powers of evil, and Father, flood this place with your presence and power. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm trying today, I guess if I title this, I'd title it Three Greatest. Three greatest, and you'll know what I'm talking about as we go in the message, but I was looking at another message and trying to work on it, and I saw some notes I jotted down one time, and I'm sure this has been preached many times, many ways, by many different people, but it stuck out in my mind, and I just looked at those three verses and thought how great they are, and three great things I find in these verses, the greatest. And that word great means large in size or number. It means larger than usual. And when I say the greatest, if you're the greatest, then it's better than the best. And it's larger than the largest. It is more in number than the greatest number. And so we're thinking about these verses, and I pray that God will help me say what he laid on my heart and said to me that I might relay to you through these verses of Scripture. I'm glad God gives us his word. There's some great things in the world. They talk about great ball players. They talk about great singers. And Brother Ronnie mentioned about one that passed away recently and all the kado about that. And a great voice, but oh, how sad it is they missed the greatest of all. I don't know. I'm not a judge, but surely those, what a great voice that could have been used to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and give God glory and honor and praise and had a testimony of the greatness of God. But anyway, don't want to get into all that, but I'm looking at verse number 16 first, that great verse, and here's the greatest revelation ever made. The greatest revelation that's ever been made is made in verse number 16 of John chapter 3. You say, preacher, what about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a great revelation, but did you know the Bible says that creation itself declares ours God? Amen. If we didn't have Genesis 1:1, we'd still be without excuse. Because of creation of God. And let me say this again. I say it over and over again, but I think of our young people. I think of children in school and how much they are bombarded about this thing of evolution and taught that, you know, it all evolved and how me and all this kind of thing and it took. But this world, this universe, and Brother Ronnie and Mrs. Myra got to go to a creation museum recently, and surely, I'm sure that was great and a great experience and a great thing to do, but you just think about the universe itself, and the sun's just in the right place, and the earth's just the right distance away from that sun. A little bit closer, we'd burn up. A little farther away, we'd freeze. But it's just an exact position it has to be in. And the moon has the exact tide pull on the sea to keep it in order so it don't overflow. Everything is right, exact perception as God wanted it to be, right where it ought to be, and as he perceived it should be, he put it there, and now it's held there, and man can't explain that. A scientist is trying to say it all just banged. I'd like to ask him a question, and where did this material come from that banged? And they couldn't explain that. Somewhere that material had to come from to bang, and it just happened. It just happened. Out of nothing, there came something. It just happened. And space is nothing, but in space, God said, let there be, and there was something. And so there is. And that's a revelation of God in creation as well as in his word. But this is the greatest revelation ever made. It's made right here in the scripture I'm reading to you today in John 3:16. What a revelation given to us here. We know in the beginning God created. We know the earth and all that is just right. We know everything's in place. There has to be an intelligence behind all of that. And I realize, did you know every civilization that's ever been found on the face of God's earth had some kind of a worship, that worshiped something, sun, moon, stars, or a stump, or something made out of stone, or they had some kind of something made in man that he knows there's something beyond him, and it's revealed unto us. What I'm trying to tell you is there's been great revelations made about different things, and God revealed to us about different things in his word. But this, I believe, in my heart, is the greatest revelation that's ever been given to man. Why is that? It says, for God. Now, we're talking about the one that inhabits eternity. I don't even understand what that means, really, in fullness. I know the concept of what it's saying is that God has always been, and you can't define the eternity. You try to define the eternity, and our little old minds can't define the fullness of eternity. Never been a past, never, not a future, just eternal now. Jesus said, I am that I am in the Old Testament, out of the burning bush when he spoke to Moses. And how great that is. I can't conceive of all of that. But I do know that God that created all of this and put it in place for God, a holy one that is larger than all. He takes care of all, knows more than anybody, has everything under control, put it all in place, has a plan for the universe. And in heaven, a place for us to go. I'm going to make a new earth, new heaven someday. I don't know all about the details about all that, but I know in John 3:16, he said, for God, that God that I'm talking about, so loved. Didn't just love, but he so loved. That so in there puts an emphasis on it. He didn't just love us. He so loved us. It moved him to action. For God so loved the world. That world included me. Hallelujah. That world includes you if you're lost and without God. And if you're saved, it included you. Amen. Aren't you glad God so loved you? That's not all that revelation says. For God so loved the world. Now the word world in scripture can mean the earth, and it can mean the world system, and it can mean the people of the world. Here it has the meaning of the people of the world. For God so loved the world. He so loved everybody. Everybody. God loved it. Jesus tasted death for every man. Not just some men, but every man. And we'll get that later. But I'm telling you today, here's a great revelation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I say hallelujah. What a revelation. What a revelation given to me today and to you today. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? God that would take a speck. The earth is a speck in the universe. And then we're the little bitty specks in that speck of earth. And he so loved us. I can't grasp that. That he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a revelation for man to have. Man could be somewhere out here and look around the universe and say, there's a God. That's good. He could reveal him that. He could reveal him things that God holds it all in place. That'd be good. But oh, to know that God that put it all there so loved me that he gave his only begotten son so I could be saved. So I could have everlasting life and get in on that eternity thing forever and forever. Hallelujah, I say. What a revelation God gave us here in his word. I praise his holy name and say to God be the glory. No wonder, Brother G.W., we raise our hands and praise God. He so loved us, he gave his only. Nobody's ever loved you like that. Nobody's ever loved you like Jesus loved you. Nobody ever went to Calvary for you except Jesus Christ. Nobody could redeem you but Jesus. Nobody ever loved you like that. I'm looking down here at Mark, Brother Mark Wooker and Sister Pam, and they're going through a trial. And I tell you, the thing that blesses my heart as I watch them go through it, they still praise the Lord. They still know that they're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they're going through it together by the grace of God. And over here's Angie and Keith. I see them and I say, hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What if they were going through there? It had never been revealed to them, never been a revelation given to them that God loved them enough that Jesus died for them and they could be saved. Have life eternal. I say hallelujah. The greatest revelation ever given is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now number two, look at verse number 17. Here's the greatest redemption ever made. Now folk may go down to pawn shop and they may put something in there and get some money and go back and redeem that, buy it back. That's what redeem means, is to buy back. But here in verse 17, he's talking about the greatest redemption that was ever made. I remember the story about the little boy that had made him a boat. He put the boat in the stream and the little boat got away from him and he lost it. And later on, he walked by a store in town and his boat was sitting in the window, had a price tag on it. And he thought, well, that's my boat. I made it. So he went in the store and told the fella, my boat, I made that boat, but I lost it. And I want my boat back. The man said, you'll have to pay for it. Little boy thought, how much? Asked him about it, and he told him. So he reached in his pocket and had enough money barely to get it. He bought the boat. As he walked out the door, he said, you're twice mine. I made you, now I bought you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God did for us. He made us and then he bought us. Hallelujah. We got lost. After he made us, we were lost. And then but thank God he came by the wind and saw us. And then he said, I believe I'll buy him back. Amen. And he paid the price in full. And I say, thank God, the greatest redemption ever made is in verse 17. Listen to what God said here. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he already said in verse 16 that he loved so much that he gave his only begotten son. And here he says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through him might be saved. What a redemption. What a redemption. That word redemption, I preach a message sometime on the word redemption. It means to buy back. It means to buy back out of the slave market. It means to buy back out of the slave market and cannot be returned. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, I got bought out of and I can't be returned. I may drift in the sea of life. I may mess up and hit a rock. I may mess up and hit a stump. But I want you to know one thing. I have been redeemed by the greatest redemption price ever paid for anything, anywhere, anytime. There's been kidnappings taking place of kings or their children or high up officials and demands made for money so they could pay and get them back. I want you to know nobody's ever paid a price like was paid for us at Calvary. We sang that song a while ago, Power in the Blood. And I'm glad, praise God, there is power in the blood. Thank God there's power. Power, wonder-working power. And I had Brother Chris blow that horn. I'm glad, thank God, it's worth blowing the horn for. It's worth singing about. It's worth preaching about. There is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus Christ went to Calvary one day, and there he suffered my hell, paid my price, took my sin, nailed it to his cross, and paid the price in full. And I say, hallelujah, what a redemption price was paid. Eternal loving blood of Christ Jesus. That holy blood, pure blood. You say, preacher, how could it be that? Because God was his Father, amen. And he had a bloodline of holiness in him, of God, living God, eternal God. Wouldn't it happen to eternal? He'd shed that blood for me so I could have life. I say, what a redemption price paid. Nobody's ever paid a price like that in redeeming anybody or anything. But I'm glad, praise God, Jesus paid the price to redeem them. Ain't never been a greater redemption than that redemption. It is a great redemption that's been made for us. Aren't you glad you're redeemed? But look at verse Numbers 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here is the greatest responsibility ever given to man. But let me back up just a minute. Talking about that, I can't get away from that redemption. That redeeming price. Abraham one day was taking Isaac up one side of the mountain. On the other side of the mountain was a ram going up. And when that ram got top of the mountain, he got his horns hung in the bush. Couldn't get out. Abraham was going to go make a sacrifice of his son, because God had requested it of him. Abraham did so, believing that God would raise him from the dead. Because he said, I and the lad go yonder and worship, and we'll come again. He believed God was going to bring him back. But when he got to the top, made his altar, and I don't believe Isaac struggled, but I believe he laid down as a picture of the Lord Jesus, obeyed his dad, and submitted to his authority. But then that ram, God stopped Abraham's hand. That ram made a bleed over there in that bush. Abraham turned around. There's the redemption price laying in that bush. That's nothing like what Jesus did. That ram was put on that altar. Thank God it's a picture of the Lord Jesus. But it's not. He couldn't take all my sin. He couldn't take Abraham's sin. He couldn't take Isaac's sin. But there he died. You remember the story of Boaz and Ruth? And Boaz, Ruth, that Moabitess woman, and she was a picture of unsaved Gentile come back with Naomi. And when she got back there, Naomi was talking to her about Boaz. And Boaz was kinsman and a kinsman redeemer. And there's somebody closer than him that could redeem. I'm not going to go into all the details about redemption of that day, but somebody had been gone and their land had been taken that could be redeemed by a kinsman. Had to be a close kinsman. Jesus became man so he could become that kinsman to me, that he might redeem me. Boaz took Ruth and looked at her and told the man that was closer, said, now if you redeem Ruth, you got to redeem the property, Naomi, and you got to take Ruth. All of it comes as a package deal. And he said, I can't do that. Man never could redeem like God can redeem. And so Boaz, he said, I'll redeem her. I'll redeem all of it. And Boaz paid the price. And I say, praise God, I'm glad what a redemption that was. But he could not pay for sin. All he could do was take Ruth and Naomi and bring back their possessions and put them in their place that they might be blessed. But Jesus made a redemption that took me forever and forever. Brother Bob, I say hallelujah, son. I'm glad Bob got redeemed one day by the blood of the Lamb. And now he knows what redemption is. He's been bought, he's been paid for. And it's the greatest redemption ever made. Never been one made greater than that, Brother Bob. Thank God for you. Thank God for what he did for you. Now look with me in verse 18 again. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's what he's saying. The greatest responsibility that man's ever been laid upon him. Some people talk about responsibility. I thought there was a missile coming. I was fixing to say, hit the floor. Now, I'm not making fun of the baby now. Don't get me wrong. It just kind of sounded funny. I about lost it myself. Mike Boone, hiring him a cheese sandwich. But the greatest responsibility of man has all kinds of responsibilities. Men talk about men of authority and responsibility they have. Talk about the president and responsibilities they have. And then we have responsibilities in our lives, choices we make. Great responsibility of making the right choices. But this is the greatest responsibility that man has. He that believeth not is condemned already. It's not a matter that you're going to be condemned at the judgment. You already condemned. The judgment, you surely will be standing before the Lord Jesus, and you will bow before him, and you will confess that Jesus is Lord. There are those today who don't want to bow this side of eternity, those who don't want to confess him as Lord. There'll be a day that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yes, condemned already, condemned already. But he said, notice what else he said. But, I love that word there, but, made an exception here, something beyond that. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he's saying he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I love it because it's telling us the truth about eternity, about our condemnation. That we are condemned already. We're already on the road to hell. We're already lost without God. But he that believeth is not condemned. Hallelujah. I say praise God. I'll go back to what Ronnie said this morning in Sunday school. Justified as though I never had sinned. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not condemned. I'm justified. Sanctified. As good as glorified, because it's coming next. So thank God for the reality of these three great things this morning. Simple, profound. The greatest revelation ever given, God loved us. What a revelation. That God gave his only begotten Son. Thank God. What a great redemption that Jesus would go to the cross of Calvary and die for us. What a great responsibility. I don't believe there's any three greater things that we could talk about than these three this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the truth, these verses and the greatness of them. Lord, I realize the fact that I only scratched the surface. But Lord, the Holy Ghost can take them. Speak to that heart, that life, it's lost. The one that knows not Jesus Christ. Let them know and realize what love of God has been shown toward them. Father, help them realize and see what a great redemption has been made, for price been paid for them. Help them, Heavenly Father, realize what a great responsibility they have. And I pray they do something about it today by the grace of God, the mercy of God. They come to Jesus and be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking, myself and God. I want you to think just for a minute. What a great responsibility is laid upon you today. You know you're lost. You may be a boy, a girl, man, woman. Doesn't make any difference. Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, you know you're lost without God. The greatest responsibility you'll ever have is what you're going to do with Jesus. Whether you're going to come and trust him and let him save you, you're going to go on and reject him and deny him and be against him. You say, well, preacher, I'm not against him. If you're not for him, you're against him. And today in this house, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and help all of us see our need. Father, you know who's here today that's lost, who needs to get saved. You know also who's here today that needs to rededicate their life. You know who's here today that needs to come and pray for somebody else. Who's here today that needs to come and just pour their hearts out to God about some situation in their life. But Father, I pray in the revelation of this word of God, and that redemption, that responsibility, the greatest responsibility is what we do with Jesus. And I pray the Holy Ghost speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.